Welcome to another Late Night, with me, Patrick Moore. Our first tale tonight is called Peep Show, and it's written by Nick Walker. Part 4. It was Friday, and the billboard read, "End your week with a thrill. Mrs. Edison is the lady in red, who's then become the lady in nothing at all. Over 18s only, unless accompanied by a parent or guardian or similar." On the station platform, the billboard was noticed by a young man who had just waved his girlfriend off on a train. She was going to the airport to fly herself halfway around the world, where she would, she hoped, discover herself. The young man was in the mood for an old-school striptease. He checked his pockets. He was well-financed. He could feed the slot and get a good eyeful. He entered the booth, deposited £2, and the hatch opened. The room was indeed red. The spotlight was red, and there were red drapes over the walls. Lady in Red played as advertised. Mrs. Edahover was already bare naked. She was pale. Her hands fluttered. There was sweat on her brow and a stench in the room. She was slumped onto a chair. Crouched over her, and still painfully bound in chains, was Miss Reddison. In his teeth he had a small penknife, and with it he made an untidy incision in Mrs. Edison's belly. He cursed freely and frequently. The young customer's stomach turned, as did Mrs. Edison's. "Oh, good God!" cried the young man. Miss Reddison turned. "Ah, welcome to Friday's show. In a change to the advertised programme, you'll see something of an internal striptease by Mrs. Edison, followed, I'm confident, by a spectacular escape from the chains that bind me." Mrs. Edison's breath was shallow. There was a small medical tech belt on her feet. She tried to glance at page 15. Emergency obstruction, but the red spot was making the text appear light green and difficult to read. She injected herself with lidocaine and said a little prayer. "What the hell is this?" asked the young man, a question Mr. Edison asked himself a number of times as he rummaged in Mrs. Edison's belly, a satisfactory answer which the medical tech had failed to provide. He was hoping to have stumbled across the key by now, but instead had only been presented with mystery organs. "Technically," said Mr. Edison, "given the bud, it's still the lady in red. So if I think of complaint to trade descriptions, I'll be able to mount a ferocious legal defence." The young man poked his head through the hatch and asked me if she was all right. "Kindly do not speak to the artist," said Mr. Edison. He put an organ. It turned out to be Mrs. Edison's liver, and she passed out. "Damn it," he said. "Now who'd mop his brow?" The young man felt numb and nauseous. "If you want to ensure the continuation of the unique acts, Mr. Edison, I require you to put a further £2 on the slot."
"I don't think I want to look," said the customer.
Mr. Edison leapt up and jumped over the hatch. He grabbed the hatch door with his teeth and pulled and thrashed until the hatch door was ripped off. "There," he said, spitting teeth. "Unlimited view. Today only. You may look all you want. In fact, feel free to offer a suggestion. I must say, I'm struggling here." The young man rushed from the booth and onto the station platform, where he lit a cigarette with shaking hands. A group of schoolgirls entered the booth, thinking they'd get some passport photographs taken. They emerged pale and shaking. One of them was sick on the floor. The four-footed escarpment had failed to pull away and was still on the platform. The driver of the train stood on the platform too. It was Jim, the Edison's only son. He took a deep breath and entered the booth, the first time in 30 years. He emerged a second later, shouting, "You stupid old man!" and ran to the station phone box, where he punched emergency numbers. Mr. Edison jumped after him. The last time his son had been in the booth was at his own birth, when the billboard had read, "Start your week on a high. Mr. Mrs. Edison present the medical of creation. £1 off for midwives." Mr. Edison remembered that show hadn't gone till we were either, and poor old Jim still walked with a bit of a limp.